Né?
As we left off last week, trying to understand the dinimumenus issue that was involved in the mitzvah of Balaninim. The Gemara told us in the fourth parak, which is really relating back to a sugya of the third parak, which is what we're really up to. The Gemara told us that even though it's very important that if you have a child who's old enough to know how to shake Luv and Esrei, you have to make sure to give it to him. But you have to be very, very careful not to give it to him before you get to your mitzvah, because if you give it to him first, then it will belong to him, and then he doesn't have the halachic ability to give it back to you, to transfer it back to you. A child can be kona, but the child cannot be machna. So we took a break, took a step back and said, wait a second, are all those facts true? Is it really true that a child can be kona, can't be machna? We know that a child really can't be kona either. The Mishnah says that if a child finds a lost object, it doesn't really belong to him. We don't want people to, you know, beat up a little kid and take away his little bubble gum that he found. But in terms of pure dini mamonos, it doesn't really belong to him. He's a la bar das. So Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin, beginning of the eighth parak, developed for us a whole yisod called das echaras machnas. When do we say that a child doesn't have the ability to acquire things? That's when there's nobody else assisting him to do so. He wants to pick up something on his own. That's a big problem that he can't do. But if I'm giving it to him, then he can be kona it. And Tosfos says not only can he can be kona it, he be kona it in a Torah. And that's what's going on in our sugya. When I give the doll, mean him to my child, he's mamish kanya. It's lachem. Lachem of his, not mine. Now he wants to be machne back to me. He doesn't have the lach ability to do so. So we stopped at the end of the shiur last week, really trying to understand this principle of das chas machne. So what's it based on? What kind of lach concept is mamarshach? If a child is a labar das, and presumably in order to be kanya something, you have to have das, what does it help if there's a das machne? Lamai says no das kanya. So at the very end of the shiur this week, we made reference to a mahalach that appears in a group of acharonim. It may have its roots already in the Lashon Rambam, but the whole group of acharonim have the following idea. The das chas machnaso is a cousin of zoch lam shel b'fonav. It's related to zoch lam shel b'fonav. Zoch lam shel b'fonav means that I want to give a gift to Reuven. So Reuven doesn't have to be around. Reuven doesn't even have to be bar mitzvah. I can give it to Shimon. And Shimon can pick it up and be Zoichar on behalf of Reuven. Reuven doesn't know about it. Reuven's a lav bar das. He doesn't have das. He doesn't know what's going on. He's 1,000 miles away. It doesn't matter. That's clearly a dimin Torah. This is Masechet Kedushin, another place in Shas. Zoch lam shel b'fonav. We'll come and back and say that's what's happening here as well. That when I give a matana to a katan, I'm around. I'm here. So I'm going to be zoicha on behalf of the katan. I'm going to provide das kona on behalf of the katan. The katan is not in the parasha providing das kona. Doesn't matter. As long as I'm around, I'm a bar das. So I can be zoicha on behalf of the katan. I will provide das kona on behalf of the katan. And for that matter, we spoke last week about the Gemara Masechet Gittin that tells us that not only does it work for katan, it works for gadol also. If the gadol may be physically here, but he's not aware of what's going on. Remember, we mentioned last week that the Gemara Yevamos tells us that if I make a Maisa Kinyan on land that I didn't realize was up for sale because I thought it was my own, there's a Ger Shemeis Emil Yorshim, an expert neighbor, and I'm plowing my field. I'm working in my field, whatever the Kinyan Chazaka. I'm working in my field, and I didn't realize that I crossed over the boundary. And in Chabad, now I'm working, I'm improving his field. And I thought it was mine. And it turns out, that I made a Maisa Kinyan on somebody else's field, which was up for sale because he was a Gershom Eishel Yoshim. It's Dinuk Hefker. So Gemara Vama says that it's very nice that you did a Maisa Kinyan, but you didn't have Das Kinyan. You weren't aware, you weren't cognizant of the fact that you're buying this property because you thought it was yours all along. That doesn't count as a Kinyan. However, what if I'm trying to transfer ownership to you and you do some kind of a Maisa Kinyan, not even realizing that what you're doing is a Maisa Kinyan? So when the Rosh got arrived, when we're working, that's a hospital call. That's going to work. Why? Because it's Das Machna. And the Rosh says, what we call Das Chas Machna, so saves the day. So that halacha, that Das Chas Machna, so could work, give him a tonne to a gadol, doesn't even know what's flying. And it can work to give him a tada to a katan, even if the katan knows what's flying. Luckily, he doesn't know what's flying because he's a labar das. So come a good brach and say that's based on zachla shtobafanav. That I, as the god, were providing dada das. If the katan tries to be zoichet something on his own, like metzias cheshevika, or eidav nechse ger, chesav shalayu, there is no das machna. The ger is long gone. He's dead. There's no das machna over there. When the kotter or the labar das, so the person doesn't know what's going on, he's trying to do it all on his own, he's lacking das koyda. That kinyan doesn't work without das koyda. But kozman is the matna, so the matna is providing das koyda based on zachon and shalafanav. So we left off at the end of the shiur last week with a bomb kasha. That's very nice. I don't know if fun of it is beautiful, wonderful. Namely, I could give, if I want to give Reuben a gift, I could say to Shimon, Shimon, pick it up on behalf of Reuben. What I cannot do is the following. Here I have a wonderful Gemara. And I want to give a Gemara as a gift to Reuben. So Reuben's not around, and Shimon's not, there's nobody else around, no problem. I'll pick up the Gemara, and I'll say, have in mind, my right hand talks to my left hand, have in mind, you should be Zoiche on behalf of Reuben. That's a joke. But in order to invoke Zoch L'Ein Shel B'Fonav, you have to give it to somebody else. It can't go from one hand to the other. That's ridiculous. That's Dvar Pshut about Ma'id. You can't have Zoch Shel B'Fonav unless as a third party who's representing the Makabel. Last year, in the heart of COVID, so it was Erev Pesach, so we're trying to be a Mechadish Erev Chatzeres in town, and we were trying to make, I think there's an Erev Tavshil, it was a Shavuos, a Pesach, one of the Yom Tovim, so we need an Erev Tavshilin. And usually when the rabbi does an Erev Tavshilin, you have to Zoch Shel B'Fonav, so normally that entails handing off a challah roll, or Pesach handing over a matzah, handing off a piece of gefilte fish, or if an Erev Chatzeres handing off a whole box of matzahs. So I have to hand it off to somebody else who's going to be zeichah on behalf of the entire community. I couldn't find any brave soul who wanted to get anywhere near me. So we're trying to figure out how do we do a zachah that I'm doing fun of if everyone's socially distancing from one another. So if the din would be, I could hand it to myself. I don't have to social distance, even according to the biggest machmir, you don't have to social distance from yourself. So I can hand from right hand to the left hand. So but it doesn't work. My situation doesn't work. So we had to come up with some innovative ways. So in order to do a haknah of the Erev Chatzeres, haknah of the Erev Tavshilin, I don't literally have to hand it to you. I said, I can put it down on the ground and you can pick it up. So that's exactly what we did. So I called one of my next door neighbors. I stood on one side of Rector Court. He stood across the street of Rector Court. And I put it down, and I said, okay, I'm going away. We're back like, you pick it up and have a mind to be Zeichel on behalf of all of Bergen County. So that works. That's okay. That's a perfectly legitimate Erev Chatzeres. But what would not be legitimate would be for my right hand to give it to my left hand. So if so, that my right hand can't give it to my left hand, isn't that what's going on here? That's exactly what's happening. I'm trying to give a gift to a katan, and the katan doesn't have the koach to have das koine. So I'm going to have money, and I'm going to represent the katan. But I'm the same person, me, myself, and I can't be the mezakeh and the zeichah at the same time. So what's the bira though? So clearly, what these Echaranim are learning, and again, a man of truth, that why is it that the halacha requires a third party to be zeichah? Why is that true? It's definitely true. There's no shayla about it. Most of the pshita ad-ma'id, lo shemana d'bazem ha-yoylem, zeichah shalom ha-fonim, it's going to work from the right hand to the left hand. Why is that pshat? We could raise the following question. Is pshat because the parsha of Zechiah was only sent to a third party? It's inconceivable there should be a sugi of Zechiah without a third party here. Or no, that's not the pshat. Zochin in theory could work even without a third party. Eloa, a kinyan always means to be yaitze mishus ha-moicher and nichmas mishus ha-koine. A Maisa Kinyan, by definition, means if you think about it, think of most of the Maisa Kinyan that we do. So a Maisa Kinyan is a Habo, Meshicha, Kinyan Chotzer, Kinyan. Kesef is a different word, those are different kinds of Kinyan. But for the most part, Kinyan involve a Mesirul or Shus HaZoicha. So how in the world am I going to do a Mesirul or Shus HaZoicha when I'm the Mizach and I'm the Zoicha? Where did it go? It left my right hand to go to my left hand. So when I give Shimon a gift and I say, Reuven, you pick it up. So Reuven's picking it up, left my rishos, and then we can almost make believe that Reuven's rishos is like Shimon's rishos. So we can, that's the parasha of Zoch Shalom of, gives us the ability to make that equation. But there's no way in the world that my left hand could be Shimon's hand. So I didn't do anything. giving my right hand to my left hand is mamish tehillah, not doing nothing. So come the Achareim and explain, that you require a third party. That's when the zechiyah is necessary for the ma'aseh hakinyan, for the ma'aseh of transferring b'shus ha'moichet, b'shus ha'lokeach. Then zechiyah requires a third party. But this is a very, very funny kind of a zechiyah. This is not a zechiyah on a ma'aseh kinyan. Most of the time when I do a regular zechiyah for fun of, I'm doing a double zechiyah. I'm doing a zechiyah on the ma'aseh kinyan, I'm doing a zechiyah on the das kinyan. So the marshal, I bought the box of matzahs and I give it to Reuven. Reuven happened to want to be zechiyah on the box of matzahs for all the members of Bergen County. That's a zechiyah on the ma'aseh kinyan, because in theory, if everybody in Bergen County owns this matzah, they have to do hagbah on it. But I'm not walking around to 10,000 people's houses, even in non-COVID years. I'm not knocking on everyone's doors, giving them a box of matzahs. So one guy is going to make the ma'aseh kinyan on behalf of everybody else. In addition to one guy making the ma'aseh kinyan on behalf of everybody else, he's also going to provide the das kinyan on behalf of everybody else. So a normal zechiyah has two components to it. But everyone feels like it's split the two. And you could say that I don't need zechiyah on the ma'aseh kinyan because I have a physical ma'aseh kinyan being done by the lekeach himself. The chisaron is that there's no das kinyan. So when I want to give a gift to a katan, yes, I have to invoke zochar shlo b'fanav, but I don't have to invoke the zochar shlo b'fanav vis-a-vis the ma'aseh. I only have to invoke zochar shlo b'fanav vis-a-vis the das. Oh, that's all you're trying to do is to invoke zochar vis-a-vis das, and there's nothing that requires you to have a third party there. The whole requirement of the third party is only neveh, only emanates, only stems from otherwise, without a third party, then you're not doing a mesira. But I am doing a mesira here. There is a kind of doing a ma'aseh. He's picking up the kids, picking it up. I'm still chaser. I'm still deficient in his das kinyan. That zochah is going to take you. So this is one whole mahalach and acharin. So comes the ktsayis and says, though we just spent the last 10 minutes explaining this first mahalach, the ktsayis says he doesn't think it's right. He thinks the whole thing is mutfach b'nei obeh. Says the ktsayis. The assumption of these Acharonim was it is inconceivable for a kinyan to happen without Das Kaina taking place. Das Kaina is an integral part of every single kinyan. It's Chayk L'Yavar. You require Das Kaina. And if you don't have it, then you have to come up with some kind of a halachic hocus pocus to substitute for it. What principle in halacha substitutes for the Das Kaina? Zochar Shlo B'Fanav. When the Zoyche does it on behalf of the Katan, he's representing the Katan. Like the summons, I say, quasi shlichas or later shlichas or different pashtim, whatever you want to call it. But when the zeicha provides the das, that's keilu the katan provides the das. But says the Seidi Zacharonim, it's chayk l'yavi. You need das koina. You cannot have a kid without das koina. And if you don't have it, then you better figure out a way to make believe that you have it. Comes the ktsayis and says lo shemano de zemirim. It's not true. Posh is not true. There never ever was a din of das koina. You know what every kinyan needs? Das makne, das moicher. We have a word for a kinyan without das moicher. You know what it's called? It's called gezela. If you break into the guy's house and steal his farm, you're a gazlan. There's no das moicher. But once you have das moicher, you don't need das kinyan. There never is a din. There is no requirement. A kinyan can happen as long as a ma'ase kinyan was done. All that's necessary for a kinyan is das moicher, should be gezela, and a ma'ase kinyan. According to the first group of Acharonim, you need Das Meicha, you need Das Koine, you need Maisa Kinyan. The three components that make up a Kinyan. According to Ktsayis, you only two. There never was a din of Das Koine, but Chlal, heard of Rabbi. Therefore, Ktsayis says, when you have a Das Ches Machna, so you're good to go. So what's the problem? You have Das Meicha, you have Maisa Kinyan, everything's on Kido, everything's great. What's the problem with Ktsayis? L'chayr, the Ktsayis is guilty of overkill. If the Ktsayis is right, that there is no din of Das Koine, Bichlal, so then I don't understand two halachas. I don't understand why is it that Matzias Chayei Shev the Katan is only playing the against Bnei Daka Shalom. Why isn't the Katan Zoich and something in the Torah? If you don't need Das Koinus, you don't need Das Koinus. You don't need Das Makne, there is no Makne. It's Hefker, it's a Matzia. Obviously, you don't need Das Makne. So if you're going to tell me, like the Ktsayis, that never was, never is, never will be a requirement of Das Koinus, so then why isn't Matzias Chayei Shev the Katan a Gezelim and Deraisa? And number two,
how would you feel about Kedushin? You always need Das.
Okay, so Kedushin is a little bit of a tricky one. Kedushin, you definitely require Das Kleina because you require Das Ish because there's a special parasha, Kika Cheshisha. So that's a whole different. Kedushin is, we have to wait for, I don't know when Yeshiva is learning Kedushin next. We have to wait for that for another time, another place, in terms of how Kedushin fits into this picture. Kedushin is probably different from what I'm talking about right now. But, comes to Ktsayis and says, Lididi, according to me, who just just negating the entire requirement of Das Kodesh Mitchilah V'Atzayif. So why is the Metzias Chodesh Kodesh not a Kidin Deraisa? And number two, how did the Gemara Nivah Mustafa and they say, so look on. If I do a kinyan chazak, I did a ma'isa kinyan on a davar shel hefker, even though I didn't know I was being kohen, I thought it was my karka. So what? Well, at the end of the day, I did a ma'isa kinyan, and there is no requirement of das kinyan. So what's going on? So l'chayra, the k'tzayis doesn't spell this out, but l'chayra, you have to say it's move on the elam. You have to say this with the k'tzayis. There's another halacha that's playing out here. A kinyan cannot take place without das, namely. Someone's got to provide, I wouldn't call it das koina, I'm going to make up a new term. It's not das koina, it's not das makne, it's das kinyan. A maisa kinyan has to have somebody being aware of what's happening. Otherwise, it's just digging a hole in the backyard. Otherwise, it's just picking up a gemara. So otherwise, it's just walking around. It's nothing, it's meaningless. A das has to be part of a maisa kinyan. Not because the halacha requires das koina, there is no law of dvarim with das koina, but the chach has to be a das kinyan. Without das kinyan, it's just dvarim b'teilim, it's dvarim b'alma. So now everything is am kamei of mishalom. When there is no makne, because it's hefker, the ger died last year. It's a mitzia. There is no makne. There is no bialim harishanim. So please tell me who is going to provide das kinyan. There are only two players who can provide das kinyan, either the machne or the koine. The machne doesn't exist. The koine is a la bar das. Or the case of the nichsi ager, the koine doesn't know. He's not even cognizant. He doesn't even realize. He's not smart enough to realize he's been koine. He thinks it's his own. So Chayyik Tzayis is going to say, in the absence of a das machne, the reason why you need das koine is not as das koine. It never was. Only the problem is requirement das koine. Obviously, din from das kinyan, because a ma'isa kinyan without a das kinyan is nish. Therefore, when there's no das makne, of course you require, I don't want to say the words you require das koine, you need das kinyan. But if and when you have a makne, wonderful. So you have a makne, the makne will provide, he will provide the das kinyan, and the man is the requirement for das koine. So when all the dust settles, bein lefi the first group of acharein, bein lefi ha-ketzais, everyone agrees to the halachas. Everyone, you can't argue with the gemaras. The gemaras befeirush that metzias cheshen v'katan is not his netzer. What the famous Yevamos in days that Eidim Nechzegev Sav Shalohu is not koine. There are Raya's Brurus from the Gemara's that if I give a gift to somebody, even though he doesn't know what's flying, his Daschas Machlas is always going to be koine. Tyson said that there's a Raya from the Gemara and Sukkah about the Lulav. Daschas Machlas is always Machlas to a Kotim Ederaisa. Those four statements are true. Now, how do you understand the Lomdas? How do you explain the mechanics behind those four statements? So, this is where the Echorin part is. The first group of Acharonim say that of course you need das koina, avada. The only thing is, Zachar and Rabbah is going to save the day. According to the Ketzais, you don't need to save the day because there was never a problem in the first place. You never required das koina. You needed das kinyan. Das kinyan is provided by the man.
What about a get?
What?
A get.
Yes, the difference. If you think Kedusha was complicated, get then is even more complicated. Because get then you don't require das isha altogether. So it's different passions. Like I'm a different passion. That's what each kedushin get. Each one has their own masechta because they're not regular pure dinim mamonos. They have their own rules. Rabbi said, "Man afkamina ta'achlas." What's the difference? Who cares? All four dinim are true lechaladei. So I mean, Pasha said, "We're presenting it." So what's the difference? So chol chapet tremendous afkamina. What would the din be as follows? What would the din be? I want to transfer ownership on property to somebody, and the guy has no idea what's going on. Either because he's a kotan, or because he has misinformation, or because he doesn't know what I'm talking about. He doesn't need that gayrus. It's a oil das. He doesn't even have to understand the ABCs of what's happening here. He's nodding and smiling, and yeah, no problem. But he doesn't understand the chavir and the chav is going on. So we say it's going to work. Although there's one question: what if the recipient of this kinyan happens to be an individual who Zachar and Rosh Lofanov doesn't work for? Name me such a person, a non-Jew. Can I transfer ownership to a non-Jew on an item if the non-Jew doesn't know what's going on? He thinks that this is a big joke. He thinks I'm playing a game with him. I'm telling him, Baba Mites, I'm selling you this, I'm giving you this, I'm a whole line of Megillah. He doesn't believe any of it. He thinks the whole thing, the rabbi is a little cuckoo today.
but I go through the motions with him. And he nods and he signs it at that line. He goes up, but he doesn't believe the whole story. Is that going to work or not? According to the first group of Bracha, it's not going to work. Because you have to invoke Zachar Shavuot B'Fanav. Guess what? Sorry, Zachar Shavuot doesn't work for a guy. There is no Zachiyah for a guy. So if you insist that you require Zachiyah, it's going to fail. That's Chesbachas is not going to work for an Andrew. Whereas if the Ketzais is right, that you don't need Zachiyah, that's not Zachiyah, we're learning the wrong Sugya. You didn't need Das Kain altogether. You don't need Das Kain, but the recipient is a Jew or a guy. If you don't need Das Kain, you don't need Das Kain. All you need is Das Kinyan. Good. I'm supplying the Das Kinyan. The guy doesn't know what's going on. My Nef Kamino is Jewish or a guy. It's irrelevant because we're not invoking Zachiyah altogether. Says the Ketzais, now we're talking. Now we got a big Nef Kamino Adina. Says the Ketzais, I'll tell you the Nef Kamino Adina. Now, seriously. Says the Ketzais, as Yadua before some for hundreds and thousands of years, has been practiced since the times of the Churban. If a farmer, a Jewish farmer, owns an animal, it's about to give birth, so we quickly rush to sell part of the animal to a non-Jew, because the first mission of Mechavis tells us that as long as the animal is partially owned by a non-Jew, that's enough to be Mefkia Kedushas Bechor. So that's been age-old practice for all the Jewish farmers. It's been a little, we're not so familiar with this because most of us don't own animals, but not that long ago in Europe, or in Eretz Yisrael, they keep it simple today, so they're all familiar, everyone's aware of this. This was standard practice. Every Jewish farm in Europe knew this, that you have to go quickly to the rabbi before the animal gives birth, or it's going to be up the creek, you're going to have a Kedushas Bechor running around. I said that very often, if you want to see an area of Shulchan Aruch that was very, very popular, there were a lot of shilas in, so a good way to gauge whether something was a popular issue of halacha was to look at the Pischa Tshuvas, and that's it in Shulchan Aruch. Pischa Tshuvas in the bottom of Shulchan Aruch collects all the Tshuvas. So those areas of halacha that had a lot of shilas to them, so they had a lot, very, very long Pischa Tshuvas. The areas of halacha that had very, very few shilas to them, so they had very, very short. So Moshe, you open up your Yerideya, so the simon about Tuchas Tshuvas and Isris. So you have about this amount of Pischa Tshuvas there, because in Europe in the 1700s, most people weren't asking too many Tshuvas and Meister Shilas. So yeah, it's just Shulchan Aruch and around Shulchan Aruch, and there's nothing to say because no one asks any Shilas. You go to Hilchas Bechor Behemoth Torah, pages and pages and pages of Tshuvas. It's interesting, Nebuch, if you want to look at another era of Halacha, which is Nebuch was so prevalent, Shilas, Simon Yud Zayin Evan Ezer. Simon Yud Zayin Evan Ezer is the simon about if Nebuch, the husband disappears, and now you find the body, and you try to identify, is it the body, not the body? Nebuch Tshuvas and Tshuvas, one Tshuvas is more tragic than the next one about this person disappeared, and they found the body here, they found the body there, they found this, they can't, right? Those Nebuch, those were popular issues, Nebuch, back in those days. So, Bechor, Behema, Torah, is a very, very common Shaila. So, comes the Ketzais and says, when you sell an animal to the non-Jew, how much does the non-Jew have to know what's going on? How much does the non-Jew just have to nod and smile and give him a bottle of schnapps and he's happy? Or does he have to really, really, really understand what's going on? He's acquiring it. I said, Kenyan, a story. What really has to happen? Says the test depends who's right. If the first group of Achorim are right, then the non-Jew better know exactly what's going on. Because if he doesn't know what's going on, he thinks this is all one big joke, that he's not providing das koine. If there's no das koine, the whole kidney is batel mevutel. The only thing that could salvage a kidney without a das koine is that the Ketzais going to the first group of Achorinim is of shol v'fanav, which doesn't work for a guy. But says the Ketzais, according to me, everything's amokamiyo v'shalom. According to me, you don't need das koine. All you needed was a das kinyan kind of a thing. And I have a das kinyan. The mat is das kinyan. So the guy doesn't have to understand anything, and Mechias Bechor is still good. Come the Poskim and say, whatever was true about Mechias Bechor carries over for Mechias Chometz as well. The entire model of Mechias Chometz was modeled by the Acharonim based on Mechias Bechor. In the days of the Rishonim, everyone did Mechias Bechor. Into the days of the Acharonim, people doing Mechias Bechor. In the days of the Rishonim, nobody did Mechias Chometz. You know why? Who had Chometz to sell? There's a Teseft in Pesachim that says, if you're on a boat, and you forgot to get rid of your chametz, and you have no way to get rid of your chametz. So you don't have a phone, you can't call your wife telling you to get rid of chametz, no way to. So what do you do? So the Tosefta says, find a guy who's on the same cruise and make a ma'aser kidin to be marked in all your chametz. So the Tanoim spoke about mechiras chametz for the one shogun who forgot the guy's on a boat and her base, and he forgot to sell, he forgot to get rid of his chametz. But this was not standard practice to do mechiras chametz because most people didn't have too much chametz. What kind of chametz do you have? If you think about it, in the old days, there were no freezers, there was no preservatives in the bread, they didn't have boxes of cereal. So what exactly was that? And the schnapps in the old days wasn't even chametz. In the Zman HaGemara, schnapps was the liquor was made, the beer was made from dates. It wasn't even made from barley. So what grandiose millions of dollars of chametz did the average person have to sell? Whatever was left over you, whatever was left, you ate, whatever you could eat, so you burnt. That was getting rid of chametz. In the later years, in the period of the Acharonim, all of a sudden, Jews started to get into the food business. They got into the schnapps business, got into the food business. And now you had Jews all of a sudden, this guy's got barrels of a beer. He's going to have to spill it all out. He's got hundreds of thousands of dollars of food stuck away in freezers, the caterer. Now we have all kinds of problems. He's got 16 boxes of cereals and 40 bottles of boxes of noodles, and he's got a pantry full of stuff. Say, well, Rabbi, it cost me $5,000 to get rid of everything. So give me an eitzah. So the Achron came up with the eitzah b'chiras chametz. So they borrowed everything from b'chiras b'chor. So come the pesuk and say, the same way that the Ketzais and the other Achronim were fighting an amichus b'chiras b'chor, just how up to par does the non-Jew have to be? How much does the non-Jew have to know what's going on? Does he really, truly have to understand what's happening or not? So it depends. Of course, the first Achronim, he better understand what's going on. According to the second group of Acharonim, no. The second group of Acharonim, i.e. the Ketzais. Ketzais is the second group. Of course, the Ketzais, there's no need for him to understand what's there. The same way the Goy bought the Bechor didn't know what was flying. The Goy is buying the Chometz Vaita doesn't know what's flying. So there are some Rabbanim, because of this Machlokes, try if they can to find the non-Jew who's a little bit up to par. Find the non-Jew who really knows what's going on. So this is the reason why. One of the reasons why Rabbi Willow all the years insisted on using Mr. Brown, that Mr. Brown was the non-Jew we used for about how many years have we been running for? Danny, remember how many years? 40 years about? Give or take. At least since I was more than that. I remember the first time I met Mr. Brown, I was 17. So I'm hitting 56 soon. So at least 40 years, and I was not the first year that he was there. Many couple of years before me. So he's talking about.
I remember being 5 or 6 watching it.
You're 5 or 6. I guess also, the same range, in about 40 plus years or something.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why Willard chose Mr. Brown is that he was a very, very well off real estate agent in Riverdale. And he not only knew the terrain of Riverdale very well, he knew everyone's chametz was, but he was also able to potentially purchase all the chametz if he so desired. And he understood real estate. He understood business transactions. That this was a very serious, a real legal binding. You know, there are some rabbanim who sell chametz to the shul janitor. You know, they sell to the next door neighbor. They sell to people who are not necessarily such experts in buying and selling. So again, it's also good. Mikra din, that's the minigis rom. Many places do it. Kibbutz Beitzilaz and those bechiras. But some rabbanim like to use the more sophisticated, so to speak, most sophisticated business-minded non-Jew for this reason. Because according to some Acharonim, you have to really better understand what's going on, or else we're going to have to fall back on Zachar Shalom, which is going to be an impossibility, at least vis-a-vis a non-Jew. So back to the story, at least we have a beer. This is all background to understand the Taisus. This is all to understand the Gemara Sukkah. We all started because the Mishnah told us the end of the Gemara Sukkah that if your child's old enough to know the Shekel, you better buy him a living Esrik. So the Gemara in the fourth parak quickly qualified that and said, you better buy him a Lulav Esrog. You better buy him his own Lulav Esrog because you're going to give him yours. So if you're going to give it to him before you get to yours, you're going to be up the creek, especially if those are Chutz Laretz. So since you need it to be Lachem according to most Rishonim tomorrow, so you're really going to be, it's your checkmate. You can't give it to him, you give it to him. So then you're going to blow it for yourself. Unless you say that I don't really have to be mocked at him, which is the throwback that we spoke about last week. Is it really true that you can be Yotze Chinuch if it's not technically Lachem? That was a bit of a Chutz. So Tosfos really, really went up to bat to explain to us what's going on in the Gemara and Sukkah as to what the chisar, what was the deficiency of giving it to your child. This is, of course, all assuming that Tosfos facts are all right. The Das Ches Machnoso really, really works, that the Kaddish really, really come in. But there's more that meets the eye than what this Tosfos says. It's true that we're going to play along with Taisus for a moment. The katan can be kona it. Yes, it's true. But who says the katan can't be makna back? How did Taisus know? How did Chazal know there's such a huge problem that the katan's kona, but he can't be makna? He can't be makna, really? There's a Mishnah that says Gittin that says that if a child is old enough, it's called the Gila Anis HaPa'utas. Pa'utas means a kid understands a little bit about dollars and cents. Yeah, he hops a little bit, he knows a little bit what's going on in terms of the world of business. So if he's a 2-year-old, he doesn't know anything, but he's already 9, 10 years old. So he hops a little bit. It's called the Pa'utas Mecha Mechem Kar Memker. Those who were in our shul on Sunday got a glimpse of a little bit of some of the Pa'utas in shul. Were some of the very young members of our shul were making phone calls and informing people about the charity drives for Orat Torah. They were under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. Some of them did a pretty good job for themselves. Also, so Utas Bechamemka, they understood. They knew how to negotiate a little bit. So once the child reaches the age of Utos, the bishop says they can sell something. Wait a second, we have Tosin in a bind again. We spent 40 minutes trying to solve the problem. How is the cotton kind of something? But that's only half the problem. We have to solve the problem. How is the cotton kind of, and how is he not makna back? He is makna back. He's a putas. He's 11 years old. So why can't he sell it back? So Tosis adds on a second half to this. Tosis writes, yes, he can sell it back, lemaisa. He can give it back, lemaisa. Midirabbanan. Not min haTorah. Because a cotton min haTorah is a lav bardas. Remember we said a few minutes ago, das makna. That, of course, you need. Without das makna, it's gezeil min haTorah. When a katan at the age of 12, he can be very, very smart. He knows business better than I do. But kozman that he's not a lachli bar das, cannot supply das makna. And obazo, you can't supply das makna. Then the kidney is going to be bottled vultum min haTorah. I, the Mishnah says, putin mekach mekach from kor memker. Yeah, that's a dimitri rabbanon. That's just to make life easy, because otherwise the 12-year-old won't be able to sell lemonade on the street, so it's not going to be blinding what he does. So, but you know, they said if he's old enough to know what's going on, he knows how to negotiate the price for a cup of lemonade. Lemonade is good enough. He comes to us and says, when I give, listen to this longest now. I'm standing with my little kid here. I'm trying, all I'm trying to do is the Mishnah Sukkah. Mishnah Sukkah says, I got my little kid with me. He knows how to shake the lulav. I'm so excited. So before I shake it, I hand it to him. So Tyson says, two disasters in the moment has just happened. Like giving your 8-year-old a lulav before you did it yourself. You were just mocked at them in a Torah. That was the first half of the Shia. That's Chesmach. And the second disaster that just happened is there is no ability for him to be mocked back to Minotaurah. Notwithstanding the fact that he can be mocked to you, Midrabanan, says Taisus, it doesn't matter. Being able to be mocked back with Midrabanan is not going to solve any problems. Why not, says Taisus? Here's the aside. In order to be yaitei dalaminim, it has to be lachem. Whose definition of lachem? I give you two choices. Meshe Rabbeinu's definition or the Shulchan Aruch's definition. Says Taisus, Meshe Rabbeinu's definition. It has to be yours, b'daraisa. Just because there was a Beis Din sometime between the days of Meshe Rabbeinu and the Mishnah who made it a corner that said, ha'pa'utas mechem mechem kar memker, that a 10-year-old kid could sell you something, that doesn't exist in the Torah. To be yaitzei duladamin is a mitzvah deraisa. You have to use Torah standards in order to declare whether you're the owner of this property or not. And if you own the Luvin Esrog only on the level of the Rabbanon, that's not good enough, says Taisus. The lingo that the Chachamim used to describe this Taisus is a kinyan de Rabbanon lo mahani le deraisa. A kinyan de Rabbanon doesn't work. It doesn't suffice for mitzvah deraisa. So Tosis has two grandiose chidushim to explain what's going on in the sugya. The only way for Tosis to explain what is so terrible, what is so wrong with giving a luvin esek to a child, what's so gefrelach? He'll give it back to me. So Tosis needs two things to be true. Number one, das chas makna has to be b'daraisa. And number two, the ability to sell back is only with Rabbanan, and therefore the Rabbanan can't work for daraisa. The base say, notwithstanding the Tosfos, neither one of the two premises that made up the Shittas HaTosfos is Mukhlach. One, believe it or not, could deny Das Ches Machnaso on a level of Daraisa. One could say, there's no such thing in the Torah, Das Ches Machnaso, but who said it works for the Torah? I mean, Tzai said it, the Acharim said it, but it's not Muchach. I'll tell you a secret. The Arab Yishayim don't think it works in the Torah. I'll tell you another secret. Even if the Rishonim say that it works in the Torah, who says that if a Kotlin can at least sell it back to the Midr Rabbanon? Who says that doesn't work? Who told the Bali Ataisis that Kidin Rabbanon Mahalad Deraisa, the Rishonim the famous shall say it does work? How does it work? How can it be? How can I be Yaitse Mechiv Deraisa with something that's not Lechem in the Torah? I'll tell you a secret, it is Mahim in the Torah. Based on what? Based on another principle in Halacha Dini Mamonis. There's a principle that governs all of Dini Mamonis called Hefke Beis and Hefke. Based in some days between the days of Moshe Bein and Ruda Nasi, made a takana that a 10-year-old kid can sell something. He knows what's going on. He's savvy enough in business, he can sell something. It could be that that principle of Hefke Beis and Hefke, it's a din derais Hefke Beis and Hefke. So that din of Hefke Beis and Hefke makes it mine. So now it's mine. Let's fight to my rule of Minat Torah. So Tosis had a double chiddush here. Both principles, both premises of Tosis must be correct before they're able to say pshat in the Gemara the way they did. If either one of the premises is incorrect, which we know for a fact that we should hold that either one is not true or two is not true, maybe both are not true. So then you have to find another pshat in the Gemara. So what's going on in the Gemara? If Tosis is not right, or potentially not right, possibly not right, what's going on? What does the Gemara mean when it says you cannot give your child a little bit of Esther before you should yourself? Why not? So come some Rishonim and say we have the wrong age of this katan. How old did we think this katan is? The Gemara never told us. The Gemara says, "Likne inish l'oshana l'yanuka b'yamatava." Making a kani, Michael Yochel, he can be kani. He can't be machne back to me. L'yanuka, he's a little kid. How old is this kid? Tosfos understood. How old is he? He's going to be bar mitzvah tomorrow. He's a katan. He's a labor das. The Rishonim say, "No, hachal ma'askina." The kid's 3 years old. The kid's below the age of putas. If he's pe'utas already, what's the problem? If he's pe'utas, ha'pe'utas memkar memker, he has the koyach to be makne back. If so, he has the koyach to be makne back. I'll be a midrabanan. Kim midrabanan hanul deraisa. So now all of a sudden, we have this gemara mesechus sukkah that's qualifying our sukkah and sukkah. Our mishnah sukkah just said, make sure you get your kid a little nesek. That's all our mishnah said. You give a chinuch, you gotta give a little nesek. The Gemara, the fourth paragraph of the Bible, it says, by the way, get a little bit of right? Don't mess it up for yourself. Don't give it to him before you use it yourself. And the reason being, because of some deep, dark secret in the Gemara. So Tosfos, we spent 45 minutes tonight on understanding which principles are at play here to explain what made this a problem. It's a combination of the fact of Das has not go so, which remember that works, Tosfos Rechmanim, combined with Kirindu Rabban Laman HaDeraisa that created the problem. And now we have some Rishonim who say the problem is Dishkin problem in the first place. So either reason number one is wrong or reason number two is wrong. They're both wrong. So that according to those Rishonim, we have to revamp the Gemara. So you have to put a little bit of a textual issue into the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say how old your child is. So some Rishonim say it's Muvan Me'ilav. If you have it up the Mishnah and Gittin, you remember that the Mishnah says, Ha'pa'utas, Memkar, Memker. So that it's Muvan Me'ilav, the child in the Gemara Tzuka is under the age of Putas. But if he's over the age of Putas, everything is good to go. Now we have a double machloikis of Rishonim. We have machloikis in Hilchas, I'm sorry, Daschas Machmas, or whether it's Derais or not. Now we have a second machloikis in front of us, where the Kidnam Derabon work for Deraisis. So we still got a lot of work to do in the circuit. Hopefully, next week, we'll try to put some of the final touches. I have a feeling, I think next week may be the last Shia before the summer, because I have to check. I think I have a chasa the following Tuesday night. Then after the whole mention, we'll all be in Israel. So we may next week maybe less one. This week, the Wednesday night shiur is not going to be. Rav Asher Weichselit is giving a shiur in Bergenfield, but I have a chas anyway tomorrow night. So tomorrow night our regular shiur will not be on. Next week, I have to double check what's going on in terms of next week and the following week in terms of Wednesday night shiur. Henry, I'll keep you posted in terms of that. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
What's happening when we have a king?